Live from Texas, it's John Mayo with the Mayo Report.
The sales information we'll be talking about in this episode is the sales through Diamond to retailers for February 2008. February is always a short month because it's only 28 days, or in this case, 29. But some interesting stuff this time around. What I found very interesting was just on the breakdown of the top 300 comics, Marvel had a very clear lead this month with about 45.5% to DC's 35.5% of the total sales for the top 300 by units. And usually these guys are a little bit closer between the two, but you mean even so, this is accounting for 81% of the sales.
Right, and that's... I'm attributing a lot of things to that. You know, I think a lot of the indie, you know, lack of respect that they get is, and when you add in Dark Horse and Image, I mean, how much is left for everybody else?
Well, yeah, you add those in and you're at 89.39% of the unit sales for the top 300.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing with all these other publishers making up about, you know, less than 2% of the total sales, you kind of understand to some extent why shops don't give them very much mind share. But then on the flip side, I always wonder if the shops actually stocked and chatted up and recommended some of those other things, would those percentages grow and would the overall comic sales grow?
I would think they would have to. It's an obvious
chicken and egg kind of thing, you know?
Oh, totally, totally. But it's an obvious growth area. Because you look at the unit sales and the number of units for everything other than Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, Image, it totals up to 664,771 units, which is about twice roughly what Dark Horse did alone. And there's some good stuff hiding in this area, and certainly not all of it's gonna go gangbusters if everyone knew about it, but I think there's a lot of titles with that potential. And it seems to me that it's such a, I don't want to say an easy area for growth, but an obvious area for growth.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of books that I really, really enjoy. You know, we go through the previews episode, for instance, or even when we were doing the previews call the other night, we hit things like PS 238, Necessary Evil, some of this new stuff that's coming out from Radical, the Red 5 stuff. I mean, there are just some of my favorite comics, and they're not coming out from Marvel, DC, Image, or Dark Horse. And the level of sales that they have, these are books that I think are great, and a lot of people probably, you know, I would wager that the majority of people who are comic fans never even see those books.
Well, on the previous call, I was telling you about the guy who worked at the comic store, Comic Gallery in Mira Mesa, I used to shop at about a decade ago when I lived out there. And this guy, Joe, had a knack for, he knew what I read, he knew what I liked, he knew why I liked what I liked. He read pretty much, I swear, it must have been everything that came into the store. And if not every week, at least every other week, and certainly every time I asked, hey, is there something else I should be reading, he had a recommendation. And, I mean, he recommended probably 50 to 100 titles over the course of my shopping there while he worked there. And maybe two or three didn't work for me. Everything else did. I started picking up more independent titles there than probably any other store I've shopped at before or since.
Basically, you're saying you were predominantly Marvel and DC, maybe Image and Dark Horse, prior to this guy making these recommendations to you.
Well, it was. I had gotten into Epic, Eclipse, first a little bit, Kamiko, some of those.
Well, back in the day, I mean, those were much more mainstreamed. I mean, those were like at the day when they were in business, kind of like when Valiant or CrossGen
exactly.
were in business. They were more mainstreamed, kind of like an Image or Dark Horse. They were certainly not, Ape Entertainment or IDW or something
right.
like that.
Right. But he was good at getting me into the equivalents of the Red Five, the Do-Gooder Press, the smaller companies, or even just some of the more obscure stuff from Dark Horse and Image and whatnot. And, you know, he wasn't recommending stuff just because he liked it. He was recommending it because he thought I would like it. And that's a tough thing for somebody to do. But, I mean, like I said, I started picking up a lot more titles, and I think the store noticed a noticeable growth in sales just from me alone with those recommendations. So if that sort of thing could be applied industry-wide, I certainly think that this area of you know, the indies and stuff could easily double in sales, if not, you know, go 5, 6, 10 times what it is now. But that would require a concerted effort on the part of the retail community to share information about, you know, hey, people who like this tend to also like this if you point it out for these reasons, and kind of a matchmaking service. But, I mean, I've been a proponent of that for years. So it's easy to talk about, harder to implement, kind of an idea, though.
Yeah, but I think the local comic shop is the front line in that battle of getting these things out, because you go into the comic shop and they've got their, you know, employee pick of the week, you know, up on the wall, and they're almost always Marvel and DC books, which people are going to buy anyway. You know, what would be nice is if you had them expanding the horizons of the customers, because, and that's even in the stores that even carry some of these indie books.
Well, and you're totally right. The retailers are the front line. They are the sales force, and to a degree the marketing force, for comics to the end customer. But it's hard for any one employee, much less a store owner, to have the time to read everything. Not everybody's able to say, gosh, somebody who likes JSA because it's Golden Age material versus it's Geoff Johns writing, you know, or whatever draw there might be to that comic, if they like it for this reason, they should also get this other book, you know. People who like JSA because of Geoff Johns' writings, they should be getting Action Comics. People who like it because it's Golden Age material, they should be getting the 12. They should be getting Project Superpower, you know.
Right.
And people who can make that connection and sell it to the right customers in the right way, it would be a huge boon to the industry. And that's something that, while individual stores need to do that, I think they would benefit from sharing that information across stores.
Right.
So this benefits everybody, including DC, Marvel, Dark Horse, and Image, because the more people who are getting more comics on a regular basis, it gives them more draw to go back to the store. It keeps them firmer, entrenched in the hobby, and, you know, rising tide, you know, raises all ships kind of mentality. So I am not a fan of the numbers skewing so heavily to so few publishers, with everybody else kind of almost out in the cold. And indies are such a fringe aspect of the market right now, where it's accounting for, you know, this month only a little over 10% of the total sales for the top 300. And now, sure, it's only the top 300. But statistically speaking, anything that fell below the top 300 isn't going to skew these percentages by much at all. You know, everything that fell below isn't going to,
Yeah, the numbers get so low by the time you fall off the top 300. I mean, the number 300 on the list here, Space Doubles, is pulling 1,997 copies. Let's call it, you know, 2,000. You know, close enough. I mean, so anything below that's pulling less than 2,000 copies. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to drop off from there.
Well,
you have a drop off from 2,500 to 2,000 just in the, you know, the 15 above 300.
Well, and that 1,997 units equates to 0.03% of the total sales by units, and really by dollars for that matter, of the top 300.
Right.
It is statistically negligible, and it would take a ton of these to add up to even a percentage point change in these statistics.
Right. So even another, you know, couple of hundred, you know, pulling in these kind of numbers is not going to really do a whole lot.
Yeah. Which is unfortunate, because again, there's a lot in this area that's some really good stuff. So.
And, you know, the real other interesting thing here is there's, what, about 3,500 comic stores?
Yeah, thereabouts.
You know, so you look at 257 Walt Disney's Comics and Stories, it's selling 3,510 copies. I mean, that's the equivalent, and it's, you know, at that point, unless that's the equivalent of every shop selling one copy, which I'm sure that's not what's happening, you know, but...
Well, yeah, because for every...
If every shop sold one copy of a book, it would be in a relatively decent position on the list.
Yeah. Well, and for like the Walt Disney Comics and Stories, for every store that ordered more than one copy, there's one store that probably didn't order any. And that's something that is family-friendly. It's time-tested classic material. Is it something I expect to sell in the 300,000 or even the 30,000 range? No, not really, but it's got the potential. You know, it's a matter of getting it into the stores, getting it into the right customers' hands. But that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I see a book like Proof, you know, cause I'm in that area. It's slot 270 with 2,965 copies sold. Proof issue number 5. That's one of my favorite books. You know, it's an indie book. It's from Image, so it's kind of like in the, you know, upper tier of indie books. But even at that, this is not one copy per comic shop. And this book is great and, you know, it would appeal to anyone who liked the X-Files or, you know, there's got to be so many people. I cannot imagine that there is a comic shop that wouldn't have at least one customer who would at least potentially be interested in this book. And looking at the numbers for it, you know there are a trim, because, you know, I go into my closest local shop that's got, you know, pretty decent service up here, and they've got a stack of about 20 or 30 Proof, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, that means that there's easily, you know, 50 or 60 stores out there that aren't even going to carry a single copy of this.
Well, and I would think, like, in a college town, a store servicing that community or something like that, whatever hits the same demographic that, like, an X-Files, you know, show does, could easily sell a dozen copies, depending on the size of the store, or a few dozen copies or more. But what I find very interesting in this is I've long been a believer of the theory that the further back in previews you are, the worse the sales are likely to be. Just because it takes so damn long to get through previews, if people even try. But what this is clearly illustrating is that even being in the front half of previews, being in Image, isn't a benefit to sales. Because, I mean, this is something that is placing before the Marvel section, although that's a breakout catalog, whatever, still, and is selling below 3,000 units. And there's a lot of Image titles in this area. We've got Urban Monsters, Godland, Sharkman, Gut Wrenchers, Hawaiian Dick, Perhaponauts Annual, Circle, 76. I mean, the Image brand doesn't mean as much as it used to. And for that matter, we're even starting to see some DC titles getting surprisingly low in sales, and stuff from Dark Horse is down in this area too, and that's at the front of the catalog.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at Why the Last Man. I mean, you have the last issue of that. It's here at slot 260 with 3,326 copies.
Well, that's reorder activity.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the fact that reorder activity is outpacing Sharkman, Godland, Gut Wrencher, Stranded from Virgin, Drafted from Devil's Due, Proof, Wasteland from Oni, you know, Hawaiian Dick from Image. I mean, certainly Why the Last Man, huge following, good series, et cetera, but for the reorders of that to be outpacing the new orders for all of these other titles, I can't believe that the audience for these things, again, like Proof, like these others, is so small. I think it's just not being, I don't want to say it's not being marketed right, because I don't think that's the problem. I think it's a matter of there's so much marketing going on, some better than others, but just a lot of it, that the signal-to-noise ratio for individual readers on what they're going to like, it's hard to really focus in and find the right material for a reader. I mean, I know I've had that a couple of times. You know, you'll say, hey, John, you should go get, like, Neozoic. I totally passed by that when it came out in previews and stuff. I love that. That's one of my favorite books right now. And
I provoke a lot of people into those kind of things because I love trolling this bottom 100 of the 300 list, apparently, because, I mean, I look at this bottom 100 from 200 to 300, and there's quite a few books on here that I get and quite a few books on here that I really like.
Yeah. I mean, there's good stuff. It's just a matter of finding out about it, finding a story that carries it, and then getting it and reading it, you know? So I totally believe that there's huge potential for sales increase in this area, but the challenge in realizing that potential is very high as well. It's not a matter of stores just ordering it and thinking it'll sell. It's again, matching it to the right readers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's,
so you want to talk about the top of the list?
Sure. Let's see. Top selling item this month was only at 105,080 copies, and that was the new X-Force number 1. And this is one of the lowest top items we've had in a while. Matter of fact, I would be hard-pressed to name when we had something this low before, because it would have been before the World War Hulk, Civil War, Infinite Crisis, and all that kind of stuff. So we're talking at least probably 2 years. And these are decent opening numbers, particularly for a new X title. But it seems just a little soft, particularly given that Wolverine's one of the star characters in this.
Yeah, I mean, and also fan favorite artist Clayton Crane doing the art on it.
Yeah.
It is a relatively soft opening. But, you know, this is the first time in a while, I think, that we haven't had something tied to some sort of an event at the top.
You could argue this is a spin-out of Messiah Complex, but even that was kind of a limited event versus a World War Hulk, Civil War.
I mean, like, Hulk came out of World War Hulk. I mean, that had, like, a real hardcore push from Marvel. And I didn't see that kind of a push coming out of Messiah Complex.
Yeah, he got, I think, cover featured on the Marvel previews, but still, you're right, it wasn't the media blitz kind of a thing that it could have been. And the other thing to consider is we're at the time of year where budgets are a little tighter just because, you know, people are still kind of recouping from their Christmas spending and or holiday spending and stuff like that. But, I don't know, I would have expected this to do probably at least another 20,000 units. And the thing is, from here, if it follows the standard attrition rate, it's going to drop by 20-21% for the next issue, which will put it down somewhere around, we'll say, 80 to 85,000, drop another 10 after that, and then start the slow slide. So it'll still do fairly well for the next couple of months, but it's going to quickly get down into that, you know, 25 to rank 30, you know, kind of range, or rank 35 or 40 kind of thing, pretty quick. Which, you know, unsurprising, but that's the way it goes. Now, with New Avengers, which is the number 2 item, which issue 38 came in at 104,071 units, it's a minor drop-off of, you know, a little over a percent and a third or whatever from the previous issue. That's going to do okay for a bit just because of the whole Civil War, Secret Invasion stuff that's ramping up. So, but the other thing that's kind of interesting up here in terms of the sales attrition is Amazing Spider-Man. Because we've got the first of the three issues this month, 549 in rank 3 with 101,045 units. And then issue 55 drops by about little over 10% down to rank 9.
550.
Or 550, I'm sorry. I'm tired. Still jet lagged from Japan. So yeah, 550 with 90,814 units. Again, drop of about 10%, about 10,000 units. And then the next issue, 551, fell in rank 13. And that dropped another 2,800 units, which is only about a 3% drop, down to 88,026 units.
This is similar to last month, though. What I find interesting is the first issue that comes out in a month, and I think the same thing happened last month, it pops up a little bit, like 549 here. It went up, you know, 3.25%-ish from the last issue. Mm-hmm. And then there's a relatively big drop, more, you know, it seems like a little more than your standard second issue drop to the second issue of the month, and then a smaller kind of drop back down. But, you know, the net effect is that the first issue of each month is, you know, net hemorrhaging from the previous month because of the pattern that seems, but it's only 2 months, so, you know, it's hard to make a pattern out of it yet.
The previous month, the first one was actually down about 0.88% from the final part of One More Day. And that's kind of almost major event to quasi first issue-ish kind of a thing. So it's not really comparable to this. But then with 547, we saw about a 20.9% drop, which is almost a classic second issue drop, followed by that 3% drop. And you're right. You know, you look at that 3% drop we get on 551 here, and that's kind of similar to that. So, well, and it's funny because that compensates almost exactly for the 3.25% increase for 549. It's like people are trying the first issue by the creative teams and almost, I don't want to say trying, a percentage of the readership is determining if it's trade worthy or not. But even with this kind of fluctuation on the sales, it's still fairly tightly centered, all up in the 90 to 100,000-ish range. Whereas when they had the three different titles, we only would have had one up in this area, and then the others probably would have been at the 45 to 50,000 range. So they are still coming out ahead on this. But I agree, it's going to be very interesting to see how this trends, because it looks to be doing a very different kind of a trend than either 52 or Countdown.
And the other thing that's relatively interesting about this to me is, you know, so far, these have been where you had that three-issue arc by the same creative team, but now in the current previews, they're kind of going away from that. It's not all three issues solicited in the current previews are not all by the same creative team. There's the first ones by one team. I don't have my Marvel previews handy here.
Hang on, I got it right here. Let me flip to the page.
Oh, there it is.
Let's see. It is Dan Slott for 561 and Bob Gale for 562 and 563.
Right. So, and that Dan Slott one is kind of slopping over from last month.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting if these things are having this drop because it's the first issue and then second and third issue by a creative team, or is it having it because it's the first issue that's solicited in a month and the second and third issue that's solicited in a month, because the pattern is going to be out of sync pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, with the creative teams in the months, and it'll just be interesting to see how that falls. Is it falling with the creative team, or is it just that shop owners are, well, you know, I'm just going to drop, you know, how I order this month?
Well, whenever I can carve out enough time to do so, I'm going to do some revamping to my number crunching. And I think one of the things I ought to add, if I can find the information or whatever, is what part of the story the issue is. Because that would help track, you know, hey, this is the first part of a story, you know, part one of one versus part one of three or part three of three. Could be very interesting to look at. So, but it's probably going to be many months before I can even come close to revamping this, unfortunately. Because I agree that I'm really curious as to which factor is driving the increases and decreases on this title. So, now, the other one that sold fairly well for the issue, that I want to compare to another title down below, is at rank 6, and that's the top-selling DC comic for the month, which is All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder number 9, at 93,704 units. That's about a 3.4% drop from the previous issue. But the title I want to compare it to is down at rank 60, and that's Nightwing number 141, which sold 30,960 units for that issue, which is a drop of about 4%. The reason I want to compare those two is in 2007, Nightwing outsold All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder. And it did so sheerly on the fact that Nightwing was coming out monthly, and All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder came out, what, three times last year?
You're talking about total issues.
Total issues for the year. Total units.
Right.
Or at least total units that hit the monthly top 300 for the year.
And thus, actual dollars of revenue that DC made off the title.
Right. Because as well as All-Star Batman and Robin the Boy Wonder is selling, if you only get it out a couple of times a year, you can't really, you know, keep a company afloat on that. And the previous issue came out, let's see, issue 8 came out in November, at the end of November, so November 29th. So it's been 3 months. So, I mean, this is effectively, it's a quarterly book. And love it, like it, hate it, whatever, it's selling very well for DC when it sells. But, you know, as a reader, I get frustrated it's late. As a retailer, if I were one, I would be frustrated that it's so infrequent because it's hard to keep any sort of momentum. And I would
Well, it's kind of money out of your pocket, too.
Yeah. You know, it's something that could have and should have been a much bigger success for DC. As it is, the All-Star line is so tainted with delays and that kind of a stigma that it's never going to be the equivalent to the Ultimate line for Marvel. It simply can't be. Now, right below that, one that's kind of interesting, is the second issue of Hulk, which dropped by, 44,034 units, which is a nearly 32% drop. And that's much more pronounced than the standard second issue drop. Hell, that's the equivalent of a second and third issue drop. So that's pretty harsh for it to go down that far that fast.
Was there any kind of retailer incentive on that first issue that was, you know, buy 20 copies, get
given the number
this
of variants,
other cover or something like that? I mean,
I would think almost certainly. I'm doing all my number crunching off the consumer information. I don't have the retailer information available. If I did, there's a lot more analysis I would be able to do, including how some of the variants and play into the sales. Because that information would include, you know, this is a 1 in 75 versus a 1 in 10 or whatever. But that's not information that I have available. But I can't imagine, given the number of variant covers and crap, that there wasn't some kind of retailer incentive on the first issue. Which I think factors into this drop, certainly. But I also think the contents of the first issue factor into this drop somewhat, too. Because I found it very light on story. Well, as we discussed in the Weekly Comic Spotlight that week.
But interestingly, I mean, you know, getting back to the perennial, what's really driving second issue drops, is it, you know, and I know there are reorders and order cutoffs and things like that, but is it really just retailers are doing this stuff sight unseen, or is it more of a reaction to customer comment or outcry or whatever?
Well, I think it's some of both. I mean, like in this particular case, it's more of I would think, a realization from the retailers that they're going to have people try out the first issue that have zero intent of getting the second, because if it's any good, they'll get the trade. Or they just want the first issue because it's a first issue. I don't think there's a huge percentage of retailers that got that first issue, listened to the immediate feedback they got, and immediately cut their orders before the final cutoff. That is just kind of too quick of a reaction time, given the process involved, for me to believe that's a huge factor. Certainly, I think it is a factor, and certainly the more savvy retailers are going to make use of that. But it's more a reaction to, hey, the first issue of Thor did this well, the second issue did this well, therefore let's assume that's kind of a trend on Marvel titles, and then you look at other ones. You look at how this happened with Hulk. They're going to say, gosh, you know, for X-Force or the next new big thing to start out from Marvel or DC and go with that kind of a trending. You know, it comes down right to how well the retailer knows their customer base. You know, and as a customer, it behooves you to get your retailer to know you. Again, as I was talking about Joe at Comic Gallery, the better he knew me, the better he was able to recommend stuff, the more I bought. It was good for everybody, except maybe my wallet, but
yep.
I'm okay with that. Let's see. We got down at rank 14, we got issue 11 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It is down to 88,012, which, you know, for a Dark Horse thing or really any independent thing is excellent, stellar sales. And this is only off about 0.45% from the previous issue. So this is stabilized fairly well. And while it'll start a slow, gradual decline, I think it's going to stay well above the 75,000 mark for probably, you know, at least another 6 months to 12 months kind of thing, possibly. I think if they can maintain the quality, if they can maintain the interest, this has the potential of being a long-term success for them. I mean, it outsold Captain America this month.
That's a huge drop on Captain America.
Well, remember, the previous issue was the introduction of the new Captain America.
The new costume. It had the two covers.
Exactly.
It had the Alex Ross cover. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Because, let's see, Captain America 35 dropped by 53,223 units to 85,981, which is a drop of 38.25% almost. And again, you know, you have an issue that pops up so high, the next one's going to seem like it fell when, you know, kind of really it didn't, because while issue 34 has total known sales of 139,204, issue 33 only had 78,226. So really, this is still an increase of sorts by, you know, what, 7,000 or so?
Right, from the previous event multiple cover issue. Yeah. So it has gone up.
But I kind of consider this title in somewhat of a anomaly mode, really, since Captain America died. It's been, what, 10 issues now, and Brubaker is just doing such a great job keeping the story interesting, exciting, you know, without Captain America around. And without it seeming like cheesy, cheap, or cliffhanger after cliffhanger, or anything like that, he's just telling a really good story. So I think that this will keep going for a while, and until Steve Rogers comes back, which, you know, eventually he will or whatever, or something else kind of kicks this out of that kind of anomaly mode back into just standard Captain America stories, not that there's anything wrong with that. I love Captain America. We're going to see some really odd things periodically on this title in terms of sales.
Right. But, you know, interestingly, it, time and again, as we do these numbers, and I, you know, before I met you, I didn't really notice or pay attention to these that much. But, you know, seeing these every month, it really becomes very clear why we see zombie covers, multiple covers, you know, canceling a book and restarting at issue one, because, you know, they have the desired effect, which is more dollars in the publisher's pocket for those issues. Every time they do one of these things, no matter how many times, no matter how frequently, it works every single time.
Well, it's funny because one of the things early on that got me interested in the sales figures is I could almost use it for budgeting purposes on my spending, because there would come a point where you look at a title like Shadow Pack. You look at where it's selling, how it's been trending, and it's like, you know, I don't need to drop that title. They'll cancel it for me, you know, and it gives me a feel for, you know, what's the likely lifespan of some of these new titles coming out. Is this something that, you know, I gotta maybe cut back on how many new titles I'm getting because they're gonna stick around for 5-6 years, or they're gonna be done before the end of the year?
Yeah, following that logic, I mean, Checkmate and Catwoman are gonna be canceled pretty soon.
Oh yeah, I'm surprised.
As ongoing, so I can't imagine at the sales that they're having. I mean, a lot of the DC stuff that's down in this realm that's not Vertigo or Wildstorm stuff, which seems to be able to survive on much lower numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're mostly limited series, but Simon Dark, that's going to be canned. I would be surprised if that makes it to 12. It's selling only 15,350 here as of issue 5.
I think it'll make it to 12, but probably not beyond that, because that'll give them a second trade. And they'll cut their losses at that point.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how long the story arcs are. I mean, if they have a story arc that wraps up at 10, they'll kill it at 10.
True, true, but they seem to gear their story arcs these days to what fits in a trade.
But they do 5-issue story arcs in Vertigo all the time.
That's true. But that's Vertigo, whereas the standard mainstream DC seems to be a 6-issue arc. Yeah. But you're right, they do 5, they do 4, they do whatever seems to work. And let's see, they've solicited number 9 in the current previews, no indication of what part of the story it's in. So you're right. At any point, this title could end.
Yeah. Blue Beetle, All New Adam, Jonah Hex.
Well, it's funny with both Blue Beetle and All New Adam. All New Adam, they just put Rick Remender on, so they seem to be retooling and trying to keep that title around, which frankly surprises me. Because they were at a spot that, particularly sales-wise, why bother? Why not relaunch it as a new Adam series with Rick Remender or something like that?
The really new Adam.
Yeah. But with Blue Beetle, they just switched writers on that, and that's another one that they could have had a nice, clean kind of ending or whatever. But they actually they seem to be going for almost a series of guest writers or something on that title.
Well, they could get Ray Palmer and Ryan Choi to kind of like run around and kind of a little orbit around each other, and they call it the All New Helium.
It's funny because I mean that would not be a bad team up of characters.
Yep. Am I remembering my chemistry right? Is helium atomic weight of 2?
I think so.
I've stumped you.
Hey.
Hydrogen is 1. Get some chemistry savvy person in the audience to... No, you idiot.
But there are a lot of these that I...
You know, they're mostly down in this realm. They're mostly limited series and stuff or indie books. And when you see a mainstream Marvel or DC book down here, that's like, okay.
Because in this range, we're out of the top 100. We've just gotten out of it. We're down below 20,000 units. And DC has too many titles in this area. Like you said, Catwoman, JLA Classified, which has been canceled. Crime Bible, 5 Lessons of Blood, the last issue of that miniseries. Checkmate, which I'm, again, surprised has not had a final issue notice on their solicitation yet. It's a matter of time.
Well, they're putting a new writer on it, Bruce Jones, and that might be the final nail in the coffin of that one, because at least with me, Bruce is not a big selling point lately.
True, but it's probably cheaper to have him write it than to have Greg Rucka write it, and you could put Greg Rucka on a book that'll sell better. So business-wise, that makes sense. Well, let's see, JSA Classified has been canceled, Suicide Squad Raised the Flag's a miniseries, Wonder Girl's a miniseries that's ending, Metal Men's a miniseries. Simon Darkwood, we've said, probably not long for this world. Shadow Pack, they've already canceled. Blue Beetle is down at, 14,369 units. And now we're going to do rotating writers for a couple issues. It's like, that can't be good.
Yeah, and I really like, for instance, Simon Dark, Blue Beetle. Those are great books. I love those books, but boy... Not too many other people do. The other thing, it's not true about the continuing series. I think the trade mentality is, a lot of people will wait for the story arcs to be traded. But you can almost see on any DC miniseries that the monthlies are, from the outset, just very deflated because I think a lot of people... That miniseries comes out, and they don't even bother. It's just like, well, Wonder Girl, okay, I'll just buy the trade on that. If I hear good things, I'll buy the trade. Suicide Squad, I'm not going to bother. Metal Man, and again, people might try out the first issue to see if they like it, and if they do, then they'll wait for the trade. You hear a lot of people talking about that, and it's built in on the miniseries.
Well, it's funny.
And you just see these minis are just... Boy, they're way down here in circulation.
I mean, I agree with you entirely that people seem to be letting the market test the material for them, and that makes sense. But I think you hit the nail on the head when you said you hear a lot of people talking about this. Because I don't know how many of these people actually go and then buy the trade. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're under no obligation, certainly. But you look at the sales for the trades of, like, Blue Beetle, the third volume only had 1,513 units. The Connor Hawk miniseries had the trade for that 1,425 units. Let's see, the Catwoman Dies trade did 1,725 units. People don't seem to be following up on actually buying the trades, at least not immediately. Yeah. Some of this they may get, you know, a year from now, 6 months from now, whenever. But in terms of the publishers keeping these titles around, the trade sales aren't doing anything to justify that.
It's far less damaging on a miniseries. A miniseries, you know, if DC says, okay, we're going to do, Crime Bible, and it's a six-issue miniseries. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to do six issues, and if that's, and that's actually selling 17,000, a little over. You know, if it's selling 15, 17,000, that's fine, because they're making this. They know it's going to be a trade. They know some number of people will buy the trade, and, you know, the trade will have, you know, have been paid for, essentially the costs of producing it, because they sold it at a certain sustenance level in the mini. But the mini series has been kind of predetermined to, it's going to run its course and it's just going to go into the trade backlist. Where it really hurts is an ongoing series where people take the wait for the trade attitude, because that's what gets a really great series like Blue Beetle canceled.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are waiting for the trade and they're not buying the monthlies, and they are building in that this book is not going to be sustained, and they're not going to get continuing trades from it because the numbers are not there to support an ongoing series.
Well, I mean, that was kind of the whole point of my article a few months back on CBR, when I was talking about kind of the transient sales with the advances and declines. We're getting to the point where it's a smarter move for the publishers to be doing miniseries like they've done with the Adam Strange. I mean, he's more or less been a regular feature in comics for the last 3 or 4 years via miniseries, be it the Adam Strange one, the Ran Thanagar War, the recently completed Countdown to Adventure, 52 in between. He's going to be in the Holy War coming up. But by doing it as these packaged limited series, it makes people feel they're not having to invest as much, not get another ongoing title, whatever. But on the flip side of that is, if you've got somebody who's just a huge fan of a given character or title, and that title goes away after 6 months, 8 months, whatever, retailers got to then, you know, kind of sell them on something else to replace that lost income, you know. And it's a little frustrating at times how heavy into the limited series like DC has gotten. Because I swear there was 1 month where at least a third of their items being solicited were limited series, maybe even half, and I was just shocked. And, I mean, they're doing it right now. You look at the current previews, and you've got 5 Teen Titans titles, and a lot of them, well, 3 of them are limited series. Yeah. Do we need that many, you know? Are you diluting the brand? Are you diluting the sales across multiple titles? Or is it just a matter that even if you ordered, or not ordered, if you publish less, people would still not buy more? And I certainly think that's the case to a degree. I've never been a believer that if Marvel were to cut down to a single X-Men book, sales would shoot up. It won't. All that would do is reduce the income they get. Flip side, we look at The Amazing Spider-Man, how they merged the 3 titles under 1 title, and they have increased sales. So it's not a matter of producing less material, but perhaps changing and refocusing the way they package it and market it. But, you know, we'll see how the Amazing Spider-Man stuff pans out long-term, too. So, but it's interesting watching these numbers from month to month, seeing where titles kind of get into the danger zone and how that line for when they enter the danger zone seems to keep lowering. 'Cause I tell you, 2 years ago, I think the level of sales for, like, Checkmate and a lot of these lower-tier DC titles, they would have been canceled long before now.
Yeah, and used to be around 18, 17, well, even longer before it was higher than that. But about a year ago, it didn't seem much, got much below 18. And now you see several of these hovering around that 13 to 15,000 range, and they're still going. They haven't been announced as having a last issue.
It seemed to be that they would make the decision to cancel somewhere between 25 and 20,000. A few more issues would trickle out just because they were in the pipeline. those would get down to, like you said, around that 20 to 18,000 range. But now, I mean, my God, some of these, as far as we know, are still going, I don't want to say strong, but with no end in immediate sight. Again,
well, they're not canceled as of the April previews. That's all we know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they've got new writers in some cases. I mean, why put Bruce Jones on Checkmate if he's only going to be there for an issue or two? Do you really need to tell another Checkmate story that badly, or should you just cut your losses and move on? You know,
well, I think you had a good point when we were talking the other night about, you know, maybe they're keeping these going because there's some larger reason in the context of Final Crisis or Trinity or something that, you know, they need to have or they want to have an Atom title around.
Well, certainly.
Or maybe the same thing with Checkmate is going to play in, and they just want to have that title for a reason.
Yeah.
So they're keeping it alive long before, I mean, long after when it would naturally die a death.
I mean, I could certainly see for Atom keeping that around because you need to have a place to put Ray Palmer when or if he comes back at the end of Final Crisis. Or maybe you want to have a Blue Beetle title to segue into maybe a new Ted Kord one or something, or relaunch or whatever at the end of Final Crisis or midstream there. It's hard to tell. I certainly think that the sales factors are only one aspect of the decision-making process at Marvel, DC, and these other publishers. And certainly for Marvel and DC, probably more so at DC, the big picture plan of where they're trying to go, where they're positioning their characters, plays a definite factor, you know. And in some cases, like the JLA and JSA Classified, it may come down to how many inventory stories did they have that they wanted to get out the door and get some money for. You know, they run low and suddenly those are gone.
Yeah, I suspect that was the case on those. Once the file cabinet was getting empty, they pulled the plug on those.
Oh, certainly. I mean, the fact that the Kid Amazo story that was originally going to be a hardcover came out in that title was a clear evidence that, at least to some degree, it was inventory stories. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, tell the stories, get them out there. Maybe people will enjoy them, whatever. But, you know, kind of interesting. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, there was the other thing I wanted to talk about down at ranks 93 and 94. This is Image, and we've got the top-selling Image title of the month, and it is Walking Dead number 46 with 22,855 units. That's an increase of 0.87% over the previous issue, and that previous issue did 22,658 units, and I'll come back to that number in just a second. Immediately below it in slot 94 is also an Image title, and it's Spawn 175. Which previously had been the top-selling ongoing title for Image. There had been other miniseries and one-shots or whatever that had outpaced it from time to time. But in terms of regular ongoing titles, Spawn has long since been the top dog at Image up until this month. And issue 175 of Spawn did 22,323 units, and the previous issue of that did 22,650 issues. Our units.
Technically, Walking Dead passed them with the last issue, but only by eight copies. So they were essentially tied.
Yeah, because the eight issues is kind of sort of within the margin of error of these estimates.
Right.
And the previous issue of, well, actually, it's the previous issue of Spawn where things changed, because back at December 12th of 2007 is when issue 173 of Spawn came out at 23,121 units, and issue 45 of Walking Dead at 22,658 units. So as of that point, Spawn was still outselling it. But then issue 174 of Spawn came out on January 16th, at 22,650 units, which is, again, just a hair below where issue 45 of Walking Dead did. But again, there's a little fudge in these numbers. They could be off by half a dozen units, whatever. So it's not a clear case at that point. But then February 6th rolls around. Issue 175 of Spawn comes out, again, with the 22,323. And then the following week, issue 46 of Walking Dead comes out with the 22,855 units. Now, the point of going into all these numbers in this level of detail and stuff is I've seen this coming for at least a year and a half, and the reason for that is the trends on these two titles. And Walking Dead has been slowly climbing up, maybe not every issue, but certainly it's been trending up for the last few years. Whereas Spawn, it's had a few issues outsell the previous issue, whatever, but it's been trending down overall for that same period of time. And if you've got one thing going down, another one going up, sooner or later those paths are going to cross. Now, I thought they were going to cross a little bit sooner than they did, but, you know, they finally have crossed. And while certainly Spawn could retake the top slot, certainly for an issue or two here and there, possibly even long term, there's no sign at the moment that, you know, all of the things remaining the way they are, that that's going to happen. I also haven't been looking at the upcoming solicitations for Spawn to see if there's any new change in direction, or maybe it'll just start clicking with readers or whatever. But, you know, this is a case where slow attrition takes its toll on a title.
Yeah, and certainly as Walking Dead, you know, ramps up to the issue 50, you know, which will be an event,
yeah.
They should have pretty much established themselves in the dominant position another 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Ish.
And it may be until Spawn 200 that we see Spawn outpace Walking Dead even for a month. It's hard to tell. But I found this to be very interesting because it's also the first time that a title from Image not done by one of the founding members has been kind of the top-selling ongoing title. I believe. They've had a few that have been miniseries or maybe ongoing to the point of it lasting a year or something. But, I mean, Walking Dead's been around for many, many years and has a solid, you know, track record of coming out. Maybe not perfectly on time, but it's doing reasonably well. It's averaging an almost monthly schedule, if not exactly a monthly schedule. So, I just wanted to point that out because I think it's a definite mile marker in the Image history to some degree.
And down at slot 181, that's Spider-Man Family. Is that a reorder or is that a new issue?
That should be a new issue.
That's astoundingly low sales for a Marvel book.
Well, it's $4.99 cover price. It's kind of sort of not really totally in continuity. It's one of those that is neither fish nor fowl, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not clearly out of continuity, it's not clearly in continuity, so, I mean, it's one I'm not getting. But you're right, you know, 8,582 units, why keep doing it?
I mean, do they put those into, like, some of those digests that they sell to the kids or something? I'm amazed that it's still coming out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's at the point where they would only just now start to be coming out in those digests. So, let's see. What else do we have down in this area?
Pretty much the whole, all the Marvel Adventures stuff is down here.
I tell you, they want to double the sales of the Marvel Adventures. They should put zombie covers.
Yeah.
You know?
They could be comedy zombies.
That would be funny. And then we start getting down into the area we talked about earlier with the...
Yeah.
That stuff. Let's see. If you were to have bought everything on the top 300 list, which of course would be completely insane, you would have spent about $1,009.18 at full cover price. So hopefully you got a good discount if you're that crazy. Or if you're that crazy and that rich, maybe you don't care. Let's see. Out of these, 194 were at the $2.99 cover price. 37 were at the $3.99 cover price, and 26 were at the $3.50 cover price. So at this point, it's anyone's guess as to if and when another price hike from Marvel and DC occurs, and if they'll go to $3.25 or $3.99. I'm increasingly think it'll be the $3.99.
Now, I could have actually bought every one of these 300 books and spent less money than I usually spend in a month.
That's scary.
But I get the hardcovers and statues and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, any one of those things, you know, is, you know, 40 comics.
Yeah.
Off this list.
Let's see. There were a dozen items at $225 and a dozen items at $499. And then a couple items here and there at different prices. But I think we're getting to the point where sooner and probably sooner rather than later, we may start seeing the shift in where most of the titles start landing in the price range, which I'm not looking forward to. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Hang on just a second. I'm counting how many books I bought out of the top 300.
I am including reorders in mine.
Wow. Yeah, so there are reorders in here.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously. So, but it's 155 of the line items on the top 300 are books that I have. Whether I bought them the first time, I didn't buy a second one if it was a reorder, but I have 155 of the 300 comics listed here.
I got 148, I believe, of the items. And again, that includes reorders and stuff like that. So about somewhere between a third and half the list. Close to half if you include reorders, closer to probably two-fifths if you don't. So, but it's interesting, by getting such a huge portion of this, I'm sure you feel the same way, but I know I find that it gives me a better context for looking at these numbers, because I understand what happened in a lot of these issues.
Right.
At least the ones I've read, because like I said, I'm way behind on my reading.
Yeah, but I mean, even some of the other ones, I mean, you read previews and stuff, so you kind of know what's going on in general.
Yeah. Cool. So that pretty much it?
Yeah.
All righty. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. The sales estimates can be found under the sales chart section of the Comic Book Page website. Please email us at themayoreport@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening. The views expressed by Don Mayo and his guests are their own and may or may not accurately reflect reality in any way, shape, or form. If they differ from your reality, please verify you are in the same space-time continuum before taking any action. All numbers given are estimates and only estimates. To think otherwise would be foolish. The estimates given are for sales from publishers to retailers for items invoiced through Diamond Comics Distribution for the month in question. The Diamond Order Index only goes 2 decimal places, and therefore there is a margin of error of at least 1/10,000th of the estimate for the key title, which is usually, but not always, Batman. For months in which no issue of Batman shipped, Detective Comics is usually used as the key title. Some numbers are rounded to the nearest 100 for convenience. This may introduce a further level of inaccuracy. No information about how many copies may or may not have sold to readers is included, implied, or denied. Anywhere from all of the units shipped to retailers to none of them could still be sitting on store shelves gathering dust. All reorder activity should be seen only as indications there's at least one retailer that may have an excessive amount of empty shelf space with dust it needs collecting. The list of the top 300 comic books only contains the top 300 comic books sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 300 different comic books may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 300 comic books for the month. The list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions only contains the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions sold through Diamond to retailers for the month in question. More than 100 different graphic novels and collected editions may have shipped during the month, and obviously not all of them will be included on the list of the top 100 graphic novels and collected editions for the month. In the past, the list of top graphic novels and collected editions contained only 50.5 or SKUs and items. This means that historical data about graphic novels and collected editions is increasingly limited the further back in time that you look. Fixing this may require time travel, which, as far as I know now, has not been successfully invented in the past, present, or any possible or probable future. No visibility into the sales or lack of sales of any comic books, graphic novels, and/or collected editions that are not listed on the top 300 comic books or top 100 graphic novels and collected editions lists is included, implied, or denied. The data from Diamond only contains data from Diamond. No information about the sales or lack of sales of any items sold outside the Diamond Comics distribution channel is included, implied, or denied. That information is considered to be outside the scope of this report. If this isn't the data you're looking for, then this isn't the data you're looking for, and no amount of whining will change that. If you don't know why this disclaimer is here, then it probably isn't meant for you. This report is void in the alternate reality of Duluth, Minnesota. Math, logic, and English language itself seem to work very differently there.